Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can count. 10. Yes. Good. Good evening. Welcome to Living Hope, Brian. Thank y'all for coming out tonight. We have just a few little bit of announcements for you guys tonight. Next Saturday at 8 o'clock right here, we're going to have a community work day. Mr. Joe says there's a couple of jobs that could take a lot of people. So y'all don't worry about not having nothing to do. There'll be some stuff to do. So y'all show up here at 8 o'clock. We can get started on community work day. And in July, this is July, right? July 3rd right now. All right. July. Happy 4th of July. This is July. In July, I just kind of wanted to get you primed for the, for what we're going to do in July. We're going to have a corporate worship with, at Faith Bible Church out in Wixon Valley over there. We're going to be with, Charity Baptist Church, another church I can't think of the name of, and SOS Ministries, us, and Faith Bible Church. We're going to have one of our Sunday evening community worships. And they said that child care was available over there at Faith Bible Church, and they're also going to have a watermelon and ice cream Sunday fellowship after that, okay? So oh yeah, I know. They know they're going to have to feed y'all and get y'all to come. But anyway, mark your calendar. Let's get ready for that on July the 18th, okay? And so your newsletters are out there. Pick up a newsletter. Has all the information. It's got the calendar on it and everything. And so tonight, we just wanted to just get everybody just ready for worship. Butch is going to be bringing the message tonight, and we just appreciate him coming over. But one thing I wanted to make an announcement, and I want everybody to listen, because we had a leadership meeting this last week, and really, this is the time of year where we begin to evaluate everything. You know, we begin to evaluate why we do what we do. And so in the meeting, the night in which we worship came up as an item of interest. And so even in that meeting, we threw out some possibilities of whether we were going to stay on Saturday night or Sunday night. And it's before everybody says, oh, no. There's no decision been made. But here's the thing, buddy. We need to hear from you. Okay? And so what I want y'all to do is I want y'all to commit to pray and fast for 2 weeks. Alright? And then, contact one of your elders, because ultimately, the elders will make the decision, okay? But we've gotta hear from the body, we've gotta hear from you guys, and so, here's what I don't want. I don't want opinions, I don't want preferences and things like that. I want us to be praying and fasting and ask God about this. And when you're considering, see, don't just consider how it affects you, consider how are we gonna reach more people? Okay, and not the convenience or whatever. So that's what I ask you to do. I ask you to ask God in a time of prayer and fasting. And after 2 weeks, then we want to hear from you. And if you're not willing to commit to pray and fast about this, because this is an important decision, okay? If you're not willing to commit to pray and fast about this, would you please just submit to whatever we decide, okay? And so we want you to commit to pray and fast for this, and then we'll be able to hear from you, okay? So if you're not willing to do that, we just don't want to hear, okay? Well, because that's really something that's very, very important to this body, okay? And so we want to do that tonight, and I just wanted to just put that on y'all, and you can speak with us, but we want to wait 2 weeks so we can pray and fast, okay? Yes.
Saturday night or Sunday.
Yeah, switching from this Saturday night service or going to a Sunday. Okay, and so this is just something that we want to put before the body, have you pray and fast about, and then we'll make a decision. And here's the thing, we want to make that decision based on a lot of things other than just what we think. Okay, so we need to ask God for this. It's a big deal. Okay, so we got a video for tonight, but let's watch the video.
Sermon I've entitled, Remember, Listen to, and Obey Your God Alone. I'm going to start off today's message with one word. Listen. When you really want someone to hear what you have to say, you'll say, listen to me. Listen. Listen. It's not just the hearing, but it's the hearing and the understanding that accompanies effective communication. So I ask you to listen. Your life makes a difference. Your life. You the one that are listening to me as an individual. Makes a difference. In both positive and negative ways, everyone who claims Christ as the Lord and Savior makes some kind of difference for the kingdom of God. You're either leading people towards or away from God. So your life matters whether you want it to or not. That's God's plan, not ours. We also live in self-deprecation and negative self-talk as individuals. That even in the church, we do not believe that we are vital or important to the overall ministry and impact of the local church. It's our hope that our study through Psalms, as you see here, that it's helped you to truly understand and see God and His will and His ways in ways you've never seen it before. So that you can be honest with God like the psalmists are honest with God. Instead of having to wear a mask. Instead of having to go through the motions. Instead of having to try to act like something that you're not. That because you so understand God and His grace and His greatness, that you so understand the personal relationship that God desires with you, and that you so understand how amazing He is, and that even though He's God, He loves you personally. Personally. And He desires to use you. The good and bad of you. For His glory. As we celebrate our nation's independence this weekend, I said before you, still believing that we are the greatest nation in the world. Unapologetically, I am thankful to be a citizen of the United States of America. Just got finished doing a wedding where there are a lot of military folks. And it was such an honor to get to say at the wedding, I now introduce you to Captain and Mrs. Kevin Hicks. We live in a great nation. We are blessed to have men and women that still lay their lives in the line, so that we can continue to enjoy the freedom that we have right now to do what we're getting to do. Yet I have to be honest with you. At no time in my lifetime, I see our nation heading into oblivion. I see it headed that way through massive national debt, a governmental leadership that uses curse words and intimidation rather than ideas to win the day. A media that is more concerned about their ideology and agenda rather than the truth. And a church that has fallen so in love with this world and themselves that they have turned away from an unapologetic love of our amazing and beautiful Savior. Mediocrity and complacency and apathy has become the norm in the church. Distractions abound, and things that we consider so innocent in the church are doing nothing but wasting hours upon hours upon hours a day. Not a week. A day pursuing pleasures and leisures and our own agenda. Increasingly, even in the church, it has become about me and what I want. So I was thankful to be sitting here as I prepared to preach this message and hear your pastor stand up and say, guys, we don't want your opinions. Your opinions and $1.07 will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. They are worth nothing. Today's message is my attempt to refocus you as a local church, as individual believers, and as a corporate body. To ask you to reconsider every activity, every expenditure, every ministry, every leisure, every investment, every priority, every passion, and decision that you make in your lives. You consider them against the backdrop of eternity and the clear teaching of the Word of God. One of the things I'm excited to be able to say to Living Hope College Station tomorrow is that I'm really glad that I'm not going to be around while all this seeking is going on. Because it's so important that we as individual believers develop our individual convictions from the Word of God and that we follow God in obedience to His Word, not that we accept Butch's convictions and allow Butch's convictions to motivate us to do the right thing. Because I've already learned this about myself. I am weak in comparison to the Word of God. It does a far better job of convicting than I do. It's amazing to me how often I hear the church talk about, I don't feel good about that message. Even when it's straight out of the Word of God. The Spirit of God always takes the Word of God and convicts the child of God. And you have one of two responses. I give you three. Remember, you can get right and repent, and you'll experience God's blessings again. You can get angry and bow your neck and experience this sense of condemnation, because anytime you tell God to shut up, He will say, okay, go on your bad self. And so He withdraws the peace of His Holy Spirit while you're trying to make it about you. But it's His kindness that He's meant to discipline you and lead you towards repentance. Or I beg you, rather than get angry, just ignore me. For one second, think about the possibility that there may be someone in this room that needs to hear what I have to say today, even if you don't like it. Because I think what God's going to do over the next several weeks, as we all seek to only do God's ministry in God's power and for God's glory, is to set us all free as individuals to be everything God says we are. It's amazing to me that we can sing a song like In Christ Alone, one of the most beautiful gospel songs in the world, theologically solid. We understand that that's all the hope we have, and yet we want to walk out there and try to live by ourselves. Of course you're going to feel defeated. Of course you're going to get depressed. Of course you're going to get discouraged, because you and I are nothing apart from Jesus Christ. Praise God. The pressure's off of us and back onto Him. But the second the devil can distort the Word of God and distort the way we look at things, we put ourselves right back into Genesis chapter 3 and we're acting just like Eve. And so then we don't even understand what the Word of God says anymore. And so I'm really going to ask you guys to really evaluate, those of you who are covenant members of this church, to evaluate your faithfulness to your membership agreement. And if you don't remember what you promised that you're going to be a part of, I beg you to go back. Because if every member of Living Hope Baptist Church Bryan is not being faithful to the membership covenant, then your church will not be blessed at the level that God desires to bless it. Even if just one of you is not right, it's a big deal. And I would submit to you that that's probably why you're not at peace in your own life. That's why there's confusion. That's why there's a lack of joy. That's why there's a lack of God's blessing and peace over you in your life. Because you cannot tell God to shut up and expect Him to act like everything is just fine. So I just want to pose just a few questions for you to consider, covenant members. And so those of you who are guests today, we welcome you. We are glad you're here. We're just going to do a little family business for just a second. Okay? First of all, I want to ask is, are you on at least one ministry team? Serving in leadership and developing passion so that you can lead this church to serve in that area the way that most effectively meets the needs in that area? And then beyond that, are you also then serving as a servant in another area of need because the leadership of the church has said, we need you to be here, and because Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom of servants? On an ongoing, weekly basis, everyone in the body needs to be serving somewhere in some way. If nothing else, just meeting 3 to 5 new people every week is going to be a wonderful way to practice that. A wonderful way. It is like practice for cold call evangelism, having to walk up to somebody you don't know and saying, hello, welcome to Living Hope. And then when they say, well, I've been a member for 6 years, then if you have the boldness to say, then why haven't you ever come up and met me? Yeah, have an attitude on me. I got something for you. But the reason that that's a big deal is because too many of us come here and we just think the church is about us. It's never about us. It's about people we don't even know yet. That's why I love these facilities. Can y'all envision the day that this place will be filled up? Because y'all get it. Better facilities than Living Hope College Station. Better facilities, bigger facilities. Potential for y'all is beyond anything that I've ever seen. But it's going to take the body of Christ understanding God's call in your life that each one of you are evangelists and servants for His glory. I think you've got to evaluate your giving and your tithes and offering. Make sure that you as a member are being faithful in that. That's not up for debate. Everyone. Prayer meetings. Faithful in community through our community groups. I almost said hope groups. Community groups. Taking the discipleship courses that this church believes are so very, very important to grow you and to teach you to obey everything that Jesus commanded. If it's not your intention to go through all those things, if it's not your intention to serve in ministry, then you need to repent. Or you need to find another church. And for those of you who are afraid, oh my goodness, we've already done too much subtraction, I want you to know you can trust God. We call it addition by subtraction. And God will bless. Membership at Living Hope is not some flippant or selfish, consumer-driven country club that marks much of the American church. We truly need spirit-filled faithfulness of every member in this body. And here's why. Because you make a difference. Your experiences, your life, your personality, the way that you smile, the way that you hug, what you've been through, it is important in this local body. There are people that need to know you and people that you need to know. So that you don't get bitter, and so that you don't get selfish, and so that you don't make it about you, so that you don't walk in depression and condemnation and all the things that the devil wants to do to shut what God wants to do down. And so I want to ask you to evaluate. We're going to be reminded in today's song that the choice is simple for us all. But we need to listen to God. And when we hear what He says for us to do, that we obey Him, that we apply what He says to our lives, but only to His will, His word. And then this beautiful promise, and you'll be blessed. And you'll be blessed. Sylvia, do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? How about you, Chad? You want to be blessed? Matthew? Kathy, do you want to be blessed? Alan? See, See, I'll submit to you, there's not a one of us in here that would say, you know, I don't want to be blessed. And yet because we have lived without God's supernatural blessing for so long, we don't even know what we're missing. Some of us do though. Some of us remember that. Some of us remember those times, maybe when you first got saved, or maybe a few years afterwards when God's Spirit got a hold of you and He filled you anew and you couldn't get enough of Him. Whenever you saw Him begin to heal your marriage, whenever you saw Him turn your rebellious children around, when you saw Him set you free from addiction. I don't know what it was for you, but there was something about it. You said, hey, nothing is good in this world as what I got in Jesus. You remember that. But something's happened. The same thing that happens in your life and my life is the same thing that happened in the nation of Israel. We forget all that God's done. We tell Him to shut up. And we start walking in disobedience in our own wisdom, with our own agenda. And don't even realize what we've done is that we've withdrawn ourselves from the flow of blessing that God desires to lavish upon us. I mean, here's the thing that I want you to get today is that God doesn't run out of blessings. You cannot give Him. You cannot serve Him. You cannot sacrifice Him. If you will just trust Him, if you will remember all that He's done, listen to Him, and then obey Him and His word alone, you are going to have your world rocked for the glory of God. We just heard testimony from a few of you that that's what you desire. You can get that in no other way. Here's the deal. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Barney said in the prayer meeting, which, man, there's a lot more people here than were in prayer meeting. I don't know. Do y'all not know where it was? I couldn't find it either today. It's right back there, okay? If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Okay? Boy, I didn't get a lot of amens on that. I hope I get some old knees when you hear some, I took a little extra nap. I had to, whatever you had to go do. But Barty talked about the reality of all that God wants to do in this place. What He wants to do in our lives. And I just want us to understand that God is in the blessing business. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Does your way really work in that way? Are you getting better or are you getting bitter? Are you becoming more positive in Christ and leading people towards Christ? Or do you see yourself being isolated to where nobody even knows about you anymore? And you're blaming it on everybody else. That's what we tend to do. But this again, I'm trying to help you understand Genesis chapter 3. That's exactly what Adam did. Whenever he sinned and God shows up, he blames it on God and he blamed it on Eve. So what happens when you begin to think selfishly and incorrectly? And so if you want to walk in the way of blessing, you're going to have to walk in the way of obedience. So let's look at the song. For the director of music, according to Gittith of Asaph, many people believe that the Gittith is a type of instrument, like a similar to a harp from Gath. So we refer to a particular kind of music. He says, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the tambourine. Play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon and when the moon is full. On the day of our feasts. This is a decree for Israel, an ordinance of God, of the God of Jacob. Worship is commanded throughout Scripture. The whole book of Leviticus is talking about this is the kind of worship I want. Specifics. Because God is all about holiness. But this is talking about festivals and feasts that were set up by God to remember and to commemorate and to repent. To share thanksgiving and also just so they would never forget the wandering experience and the way that God brought them out of Egypt. They always want them to remember why. Because sometimes life gets hard. For all of us. Sometimes even when you're doing the right thing, life gets hard. Why? Because the Bible says the godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Sometimes we fall into economic difficulty because the nation we live in is in economic difficulty. Sometimes we face judgment of our nation whenever our nation is wicked. So we, because we live in a wicked world, in a fallen world, sometimes the tragedies and the tornadoes and the earthquakes and the hurricanes that hit affect us too. So we need to be reminded. We need to remember. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is always in control. There ain't nothing going through our lives. There's nothing going through this world that have caught Him off guard. That is a sure rock and foundation in the midst of uncertainty. Life is uncertain. In this group of people alone, we have seen over the years much tragedy. Sad deaths, sudden deaths, death too soon, death by disease. In this community, we have seen horrible tragedy. We right now just watched a video about a place where maybe as many as 300,000 or more people died in one event. But Asaph would say to us, celebrate. Shout. I'm telling you, Asaph wasn't a Baptist. Okay? We just got to get this real clear right now. Okay, you can just look at the musical instruments, and you can look at what he says here, but I mean, it's awesome. It says, sing for joy. I'm telling you, this just bitter beer singing doesn't make sense to me. The way you sing without a smile on your face, the way you can sing as if it's boring. And then you let some secular song come on the radio, and you go crazy. Are you kidding me? And then he says, shout. Shout aloud. See, some of y'all think, man, but you talk loud. Listen, I talk loud when I'm talking about the weather. But I'm certainly going to talk loud when I'm talking about Jesus. There ain't nothing that fires me up more. Nothing. I get a little excited when I start preaching sometimes. I know that surprises some of y'all. But I think I'm being obedient to Scripture. No, if we can't get excited in here, then goodness gracious, why do we come to church? Man, I think the Bombers got a game tonight. You can go cheer for them. And some of you are more excited about their games than you are in worship and have no problem with that. Oh, it's my personality. Jesus didn't say according to your personality? Am I right? I think it is a general command that all of us are to be involved in, because God has always been about the corporate, even when He's about the individual. I love it, man. All those different tambourines. Man, and again, commentators want to try to tell you exactly which feast this was, and it doesn't really matter to me. What the psalmist is trying to say is that, hey, when we have a feast, let's get busy with it. Let's get excited about God. Let's remember all that He's done. He is a good and a gracious and a mighty God. By the way, do you remember the plagues? Because that was last week's psalm, which is so beautiful to look at. But I just think it's wonderful for us to always remember. And so for us today, we've got to always remember the gospel. Every week, we gather together corporately, being reminded that we have much to celebrate, and that there are people that come in here who don't know why we're celebrating, but they begin to watch us, and worship becomes evangelistic. But sadly in the church today, worship is not only evangelistic, worship is distracting. People watch y'all. I may not catch you when you text, but they see. I may not see you all the time when you fall asleep, even though I am always looking hard. But they see. What's your worship shouting? What kind of impact is your worship having? Verse 5. He established it, this musical and scheduled worship, as a statute for Joseph when he went out against Egypt, where we heard a language we did not understand. He says, I'll remove the burdens from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Before, during captivity, after they were set free from Egypt's burdens, and they had the basket of burden removed from them, where they had to always carry all those bricks that they had to make. God, the one we worship, the one they worship, provided for them. He rescued them. He even tested them. You see, God tests us, it says in James chapter 1, to show us how much we've matured. To show us how much we're ready for the next level. And yet the problem is we don't even pass the test, and so we got to keep taking it. Some of you need to get out of kindergarten. Spiritually. James says if you lack wisdom, to not know how to get out of it, ask of God. He says who gives generously to all without finding fault. God wants to help you. He ever desires to show you how much He loves you and how much He's for you. Worship. The statutes and the things that God established reconnect us with God and reminds us of our need for Him 24/7, not just some of the time. It also reminds us of His grace. Bad theologians say that the Old Testament people got saved by works. Ain't ever been anybody get saved by works. Salvation has always been by grace and through faith in the finished word and work of God. He says in verse 8, He says, "Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would but listen to me, O Israel." God is begging His people. Wow. What a gracious Heavenly Dad. I think we have such a mixed up and perverted understanding of His goodness and His grace that we don't even know what healthy fear is. God just seemed to, if you'll just incline your ear to me and listen to what I have to say, if you'll just heed my warning, you will understand that my no is a blessing to you. When God gives you a warning, it's to say, man, that's a dangerous place. Every time you pass a warning sign on the road, you ought to look at that not as something that cramps your style, but as something that warns you. This is a steep curve, or this is slippery when wet, or this is a narrow bridge. Why? To protect you from harm. Not to cramp your style. Now, we need to learn to see God's no as a blessing. Hey, whenever you want to be disrespectful to your husband, ladies, God says no. That is for you and for him, but also for your children. So many times, parents, we train our children towards rebellion and we don't even realize that's what we're doing. Verse 9. You shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Check this out. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. That's the image. Whatever you're chasing after, to be filled with by these foreign idols will not compare to what God wants to promise you. You see, when God says worship no worthless idols, and when God promises to provide everything we need, This beautiful picture, the mouths being wide open. I was thinking of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 when I read that. And Paul said, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." It oftentimes blows me away, people who talk about how hungry they are and then they walk around with an iPhone. Really? Really? I'll never forget, we had a young girl get saved early in Living Hope's history. And she was a mother, a young mother, a single mom. And she was struggling financially. And we were paying a lot of her bills and we were doing a lot of things. And she came up to me after one of the altar experiences. God just would break her every week. I mean, just so beautiful to see all the healing that God was doing in her life and all He was setting her free from. But she came up to me because she couldn't pay her electric bill or her water bill. And she said, "Butch, is that a need or a greed?" It's amazing what new believers will ask. When's the last time you ask about something like that? You see, so often we trust in our cable TV and our internet and our cell phones and all these newest gadgets and everything, and we brag about having them. No different than the world around us. That's idolatry. You know, many in the church today spend more money on internet and cable and their phones than whole families live for in third world countries. I'm not telling you not to have any of those things. I'm just telling you, if those things have you, you're an idolater. If you have to have those things because your word demands it, make sure that that's the reason you have to have them. Not so that they can become a waste of time. In fact, we saw it in Haiti. I don't know that I'll ever let a cell phone be taken on a mission trip ever again. I was blown away with how many people on our team wasted time looking at stupid cell phones. You see, the reason God says no to those isn't to cramp your style. See, basically, God's no is to prevent us from wasting time, from wasting hope, from wasting faith, from wasting joy in worthless idols. I'm amazed at how often we say, "Man, I'm just too busy." And it's become increasingly okay for us to say, "I'm even too busy to come to church." What is so important that you feel the freedom to, by your decisions, contradict the clear teaching of the Word of God? Which says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing." Hebrews 10, verse 11. "But my people, I just can't even imagine what must be going through God's heart. "But my people would not listen to me." Israel would not submit to me. They rebelled. They ignored. They disregarded or forgot God's no. And they did their own thing. Those of us who are parents know how heartbreaking it is when our kids are rebellious. I'm afraid we have forgotten how often we break God's heart when we walk in rebellion. "But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me." In spite of all that He's done. In spite of all that He's done. They still told Him to shut up with their lives. You see, y'all, the church exists to teach you to know God through the gospel. And then to fully obey God through discipleship. Do you understand? That is the main gig in the Great Commission. After we make disciples, we baptize you, and we teach you to obey everything Jesus commanded. Matthew 28. And only then does He promise to be with us always, to the very end of the age. Verse 12. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own desires. I don't have time to preach that one verse. That one verse is a whole sermon. But read Romans 1. It's the same context. Basically, it's God saying, okay, go ahead and reap what you've sown in rebellion. You're not going to like it. It's not my desire for you. It's not my best for you. Go ahead. And then listen to verse 13. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Those who hate the Lord would cringe before Him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. What a beautiful reminder of God's everlasting desire to lavish grace and blessings upon those who would heed and obey His word. Ready. He's ready right now to heap it on you. To heap it on you. Not just like, oh, I'm just going to meet it out just a little bit at a time. His shovel of blessing is bigger than your shovel of obedience. He says, man, I will change in an instant if you will listen to me. And then if you will obey me, there's no other way of blessing. In fact, I submit to you that last passage is really one of the most convicting passages in the world, because the reality of it is either we are His people or we are those who hate the Lord. Hell's going to be full of a bunch of good religious churchgoers. We've seen that in Matthew chapter 7 in our last series. These are going to be people that did some amazing miracles, it looks like. And Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. He'll protect us against our enemies, just like He did in the past. See, this is why we got to remember. There are conditions to these blessings. First, we must listen to Him. That means if His word says it, that settles it. Don't argue with it. Don't try to redefine it. Don't try to reprogram it. Don't try to make it say what you want it to say. Don't try to find preachers and teachers that will say it the way you want to hear it. Don't try to find you some people and a posse in the church to create division who would agree with you instead of rebuke you. And then we've got to apply what we hear. We got to follow after God's ways. We got to obey His word. And we got to submit in every area where it speaks into our lives. And only then will we find the full satisfaction we seek. But can I tell you, and can I promise you, based upon His word, you will find complete and full satisfaction. You won't want for anything. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking just materialistically. I'm talking about in every way, the peace, the encouragement, the hope, the friendships, the relationships, everything that you feel like that God's holding back on you. You will be fully satisfied in Him. I don't know about you, but I've dug through some rocks. I ain't never found no honey. I can you imagine? Now this time, in areas that didn't have a lot of trees, in the rocky crags, that's where the beehives would hide. And so they would know that, and so they would recognize that. My guess is that there were some great stories, probably through the wandering experiences, that weren't included in Scripture, where they understood exactly what He was talking about. We've got to remember. We've got to listen to Him. You got to obey Him alone. And so for some of you tonight, you're saying, Butch, I know you're talking directly to me, but I know God's called me to this church. Repent. The Bible says if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You see, the problem in the church today is we don't take all of our sins seriously. As long as we don't drink and smoke and dip snuff and watch R-rated movies or whatever your list is, we feel like that we're holy. Holiness is what the Bible describes as holiness, not our legalistic lists. So we want to see revival break out. The rest of the summer is just an opportunity for you as a local church just to be honest. To be honest about your own sin, but also to be honest about helping other people out of theirs. Because when the fall starts, whatever time y'all decide to worship, if you're already as one, you'll see God bless. But if there's still disunity and rebellion in this church, you're going to continue to see people fall away. Now, would you rather see God's judgment or God's blessing? Not only corporately, but individually in your life and marriage as well. Or potential marriage one day. Forgot not all y'all married. Which isn't a bad thing, the Bible says. But marriage ain't a bad thing either. Amen. I'm glad a few guys said that. Guys, I'm not the fact that we need to get more women saying that. I mean, we need to pray. We need to repent. Let's pray together. Father, You alone can help us remember Your goodness and Your grace and Your greatness and Your majesty and Your desire to lavish blessings upon us. I pray for cleansing to happen in this place tonight. For the captive to be set free. I pray that the blame game will go away and it will not be like Adam. I pray that we would shout aloud and sing with joy the beauty of knowing You, of who You are, and of all that You've done and can do. It's just my prayer that You would lavish blessings upon this place tonight. For some, that means salvation. They need to turn to You in true repentance to apply the gospel to their own lives, to be set free from religion. But I think for all of us, it's just a matter of us just remembering, listening, and obeying You alone. Breakthrough in this place, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.